In Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, this little phrase, in the midst, is mentioned again. We looked this morning at the dying authority of Christ. We found Him in the midst of the cross. He was the authority, the central point, the vocal point. That's what that little phrase, in the midst, has to do. That everything's revolving around Him. He's the pivotal point. We looked this morning at if we are going to die right, we must live right. Do not expect God to be in the midst of your death if He has not been in the midst of your life. I'm here to tell you tonight He'll leave you high and dry in your dark hour. Matter of fact, Proverbs said He'd laugh in your calamity. He'd laugh when your dark hour comes. He's not in the midst of your life. He'll not be in the midst of your death. I'm interested in living right, that I might die right. Here in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 2, and verse number 41, we're confronted again with this little phrase, in the midst. Verse number 41 says, now His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when He was 12, now imagine, now He's just a young boy of 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Joseph and his mother knew not of it, but they, supposing Him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. They sought Him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And when they found Him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking Him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found Him in the temple, sitting. Here's our little phrase. He is the vocal point now. He is a sinner. Everything's revolving around Him. He's running the show. 12 years old now. Where's He running the show at, preacher? He is in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. When they saw Him, they were amazed. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? They understood not the saying which He spake unto them, and He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. I'd like to take this little phrase tonight, Christ in the midst of the temple, and preach some thoughts tonight on the teaching authority of Christ. The teaching authority of Christ. These here are the first recorded words of Christ in the Bible. From His birth until the time He is 30 years old, this is the only glimpse that we have of Christ, is this short little brief snapshot when He was 12 years old. Matthew Henry said about it, he said, the boyhood of Jesus is like a walled garden. He said, we are given but a single fragrant glimpse from this garden. He said, but this fragrance so fills our heart with a longing to enter in to this secret enclosure of the 12-year-old Christ. His
teaching authority.
Well, what is to be gained from his teaching authority? Well, the Bible tells us that he's 12, not 11, he's not 13, he's 12. How come he didn't go down the temple when he was 11? How come he waited until he was 13? Oh, I know it was the time when he came to an understanding. Boom! I know plenty of youngins have come to an understanding at 3. They didn't wait till they got 12. 12 in the Bible is the number for divine authority. He that is 12 has now come down, telling us that he is over all in authority. His teaching authority. Here as we look at this truth tonight, I wonder if he is the vocal point, the center of what you are learning tonight. How does one learn tonight? It is what he takes in his eyes and in his ears. I'm wondering tonight, is he the center point? Is he the vocal point? Is everything revolving around him? What you're taking in your eyes and what you're taking in your ears? If you're not seeing anything, if you're not hearing anything, you can't say anything. Is God teaching you tonight? What is going in your eyes? I know it's awful elementary. I know it's awful kindergartenish. But I am reminded of the little song that we sung in years gone by in the lower Sunday school grades. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. I wonder tonight, is he the authority of what you're taking in? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard somewhere where they said, junk in, junk out. Huh? You can't put hell in and have heaven come out. It won't work like that. Teaching authority of Christ. As we begin to look at this text, what is involved in this teaching authority, this learning process, being careful what one takes in their eyes, what one takes in their ears? I notice in this text that we're confronted with his teaching authority, that it first of all involves a consistent standard. A consistent standard. Notice if you've got the Bible there tonight. Verse number 42. I notice in our text this consistent standard, his teaching authority. Now, doing with us what we are learning, what are we taking in? Notice that it would involve a consistency of a custom. The Bible says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Jesus and his mom and dad had some habits that they kept. They had some customs. The little word custom here, something one does consistently without wavering. I wonder tonight, do you have some consistent things that you do in your learning process and you don't waver from? Hey! You get up in the morning and have a time set aside where you get along with God, where you can talk to God, and God can talk to you. There ought to be a custom of doing that. Don't start the day without God. If he's not in the midst of the beginning, he'll not be in the midst during nor at the end of the day.
I wonder if he is that habitual custom.
Hey, Daddy, is it your custom to bring the family around the Word of God at any time during the day, pointing them to the Almighty God? Do you have any kind of habits like that around the house? Oh, such a need tonight to have that. Do you have that time where you would just bring the family around and maybe at the close of the night and just collectively cry out to God in one accord?
Or is it just something you did when they were little, said their prayers with them? There's some teenagers in here tonight that you need to say your prayers with them. I'm not knocking on public school, but let me take a shot at them while I got a chance. If you've got them in public school, don't be expecting they're going to point them to God during the day. They will, if they get a chance, point them away from God.
Maybe your job to check and see what they've learned that day.
You may need to unteach them before it gets too deep into them.
Be a good time just to get alone with them and gather them around God. Do you have any kind of customs like that? Hey! Do you have some habitual habits about church? Does your family know that you will not budge? Church attendance is not an option. It's not something we discuss at the house, whether we are or we aren't.
We don't discuss it. My daddy would let us miss church. We was dead.
I'm amazed at parents today that can't make their kids do nothing.
Huh?
I was 19 years old. I was living at my daddy's house. I was just home for the summer for a few days. I went to military school. I graduated from military school. Went off to school again, so I wasn't there but about a month. I'd let my hair grow long. Had it down pretty good size, and we was at breakfast table on Saturday morning, and we was eating breakfast, and he told me, he said,
I'll be home tonight about 4 o'clock from work. He said, if you don't have your hair cut, don't be here for supper.
You know, he won't kid me.
I knew he won't kid
me. Between breakfast and supper, I got my hair cut. I didn't know. I just had grown accustomed to eating there. I didn't have no ability to take care of myself, and I wasn't interested in taking care of myself at that point in time. But I knew one thing. If my hair wasn't cut, I better not be eating there. Some customs. I could count on a consistent custom. I notice in this text, not only was there a consistency of a custom, but there was a consistency of a crowd. The Bible says in verse number 41, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. Joseph and Mary were poor people. There were three feasts that most people went. There was the feast of Tabernacle. There was the feast of Passover. Most poor people, if they went to any of the feasts, they would go to the feast of Passover. It was the feast that spoke of a crowds. Oh, if there ever was a little old family unit that spoke of death to self, it was this threesome. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. Their whole life spoke of death to self. You know good and well they had to have died to self. Joseph and Mary, first time they went down to Bethlehem, all they went down there for was to fill out some tax papers. I guarantee you, she just packed a little overnight bag. It was their thoughts that they'd be right back the next morning. Lord God, they didn't know they were going to be gone about 5 or 6 years when they left the house, just going down to pay some taxes. But oh, while they was down there in Bethlehem, She gave birth to Jesus. While they was down there, she had given birth to Jesus. Herod had raised up. He was killing all the babies that were 2 years old and under. After that time, they flew down to Egypt. Gracious, he's moved from Nazareth now. Now down to Bethlehem has that baby in an old manger, an old cave. They run from there, go down to Egypt, stay several years down in Egypt, waiting for Herod to die. Then after Herod died, his son come to power. He's just as mean as his daddy was. They waited until they were able to move back to Nazareth. How in the world did they do that? Because they believed in death to self. Most of us, we go to whine, and if God changes the backdrop, one iota of providence in our lives. A little bit of darkness and we fall apart. How come? There is no consistency of the cross. What controls that? I tell you what controls it. What you're taking in your eyes. What you're taking in your ears. Hey, you can't take a steady diet of old George Jones and be holy. Huh? No. You can't take a steady diet of Toby Keith. Be holy. I don't care how patriotic he is. You listen to that junk on the way to work, George Jones. She's a running with this one. He's a running with that. You get to work. You say, I tell you, I feel like I'm just plumb wore out. I know why you're wore out. Because of what you're putting in your eyes and what you're putting in your ears. Controlling you. Junk in, junk out. I'm talking about the consistency of the cross. Consistency of a custom. But notice in this text, I'm talking about his teaching authority. Is he the sinner? Of what you're taking in your eyes, what you're taking in your... Is he the center of what I'm taking in my eyes, what I'm taking in my ears? I notice in this text, his teaching authority not only would involve a consistent standard, but it would involve a contrite spirit. Our Lord had a contrite spirit. What is a contrite spirit? I notice in our text in verses 43 and 44, he had a meek and quiet spirit. Well, preacher, how in the world did you know he had a meek and quiet spirit?
He was gone for 24 hours and they didn't know. If some of you had a young and gone 5 minutes, you'd know it. Lord God, why has it gotten so quiet around here? Did they go in the room?
Watch the text. Don't take my word for it. The Bible says in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days as they returned the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, Joseph and his mother knew not of it. He's gone for 20... You say, gracious, they must have been terrible parents. Oh, no.
They were the best parents in the world. He just had a meek and quiet spirit.
I like people like that myself. Oh, here... This idea of a meek and quiet spirit. Matter of fact, verse 44 said they sought him, supposing him to have been in the company. They thought he was around there, and they looked for him for 24 hours, just supposing he was there. But you know, in Matthew, he made the statement that he had a meek and lowly spirit. Meek and lowly spirit. Matter of fact, he said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, why don't you take in your eyes and your ears so you'll have a meek and lowly spirit. What is a meek and lowly spirit? The little word meek has the idea of temperament of spirit that accepts the dealings of God. Whatever God is dishing out, you're accepting. You're not baffled by what God is doing. You accept it without reluctance or dispute. wonder if you find yourself whining about the happenings of life. Jesus was not a whiner. He accepted what God sent. He was not reluctant or disputing. The idea of a meek spirit is a very agreeable spirit, closely related to the word gentle. Hey, I wonder if you have an agreeable spirit. Do you have any young'uns at the house that have a disagreeable spirit? They butt everything. I tell you what's wrong with them. It's what they're taking in here and what they're taking in there. It'll give you a butt spirit every time. Every time. He has a meek spirit. But I noticed that the text says that he had a lowly spirit. That little word lowly has the idea of a humbleness of mind. Thinking less of oneself and thinking more of others. Reason why they didn't know he was in the place, reason why they could go 24 hours, is because he had a quiet spirit. He was swift to hear and slow to speak. He didn't act like he had two mouths and one ear. He acted like he had two ears and one mouth. I love what old Abraham Lincoln said. He said it would be good for you and I to be quiet and be thought a fool than to open our mouths and remove all doubt. Could I run this by you? I heard it the other day and it spoke volumes to me. It cut me to the quick. There is a big difference tonight in saying something and having something to say. Are you listening to me? There is a big difference in saying something and having something to say. Did you know that Jesus was the quotable Jesus? Do you know every time he opened his mouth, somebody took out a pen? I wonder when the last time you opened your mouth and somebody took out a pen. You see, preacher, ain't nobody ever took out a pen when I opened my mouth. It might be good for you to keep it shut. Right. Right. Of course, if you hadn't seen anything, you hadn't heard anything, you can't say anything. Oh, most of our talking this hour is worthless. That's why it is making no divine impression upon the world. Oh, you young people today, if you're going to talk at school, why don't you find a subject that is eternal to talk about? Huh? Instead of just jibber-jabbering about this and that. I don't want to waste my words. You don't get but so many when you've used them up. You're done. And some of you are living on credit now. Huh? Oh, he had a meek and a quiet spirit. Oh, I'm interested in having that kind of spirit. What is so big about God giving you a meek and quiet spirit? You listening to me tonight? God can't get anything in your eyes. He can't get anything in your ears if that hole under your nose is not shut. He said, be still and know that I am God. Oh, it is when we're quiet, when we're still, that God will speak. Put things in our ears and things in our eyes. Oh, he was a meek and quiet spirit. I wonder tonight, is that customary in your life? Do you find yourself having some time during the day where you just get still? You just get quiet. Let God speak to you. Is he in the midst of your teaching authority? I notice in this text, not only did he have a meek and quiet spirit, and I guess if anywhere in this text God spoke to me so big, it was in this little thought. He had a mingling and quickened spirit. You know, Jesus, although he was quiet, he was a mingler. He liked to mingle amongst people. Well, how do you know that? I know that because of where they looked for him at. Verse 44 said, but they, supposing him to have been in the company, when a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk. It was his custom to hang out amongst the kinfolk or his acquaintances. That little word, kinfolk, it has the idea of his closest kin, his cousins, closest family. Jesus liked to get around his family. Some of you can't stand your family. He liked to get around his family. How come he wanted to get around them? He wanted to make divine impressions upon them. Hey, you can't make no impressions upon your family if you don't get around them. Oh, he liked to get around his family. He was trying to make divine impressions. But I notice in the text that he liked to get around his acquaintances. The little word acquaintances is notable, worthy of knowing. He liked to mingle amongst people. He wanted to get to know them. Boy, there's an area in my life where I need help. I probably told you this before. I don't even know if I like people or not. Huh? I've been so blooming introverted all my life and spent so much time in evangelism alone. I don't know. I get to the place where I just like being alone. I'm almost like the preacher said he'd have a good church if it wasn't for people. God's been working in my heart. I cannot make divine impressions unless I mingle. I want God to put that in my heart. Ask questions. When you get around people, do you always talk about yourself or do you talk about them? Do you ask questions? Our Lord was not a mama's boy. He was not right up underneath of her apron. He was a mingling sister. He wanted to make divine impressions upon people. Hey, how about down there where you get your groceries? You go through that line. Do you ever say anything to that old gal? Or do you just get your groceries, pay your bill, run? Do you ever ask any questions like this? Where do you go to church? Do you ever ask any silly questions like that? Do you ever ask any silly questions like this? Where are you going when you die? You ever bring that? Oh, you don't want to bring that up in the grocery line. Lord God, she come apart. Well, yes, you might want to get saved. Of course, you wouldn't ever know it if you didn't ask her. She'd probably be shocked to find out you saved. She's been watching you come through that line before. Maybe that's why you can't talk to her. You've been ugly over there already. I usually don't witness the people I've been ugly to. That's a bad time to do it. He was a mingler. Our Lord had a mingling and quickened spirit. He liked to mingle around. He was not hiding up underneath of his mother. Oh, I tell you, if you and I are going to have something to say to the world, we're going to be able to stand up and give an account of the hope that lies within us. We must control what goes in here and what goes in there. You don't hear anything, don't see anything, you won't say anything. Oh, our Lord had a contrite spirit. Could I mention some other things about His teaching authority? Notice not only that He had a consistent standard, He had a contrite spirit. I notice in the text that He had the communication of Scripture. He was only 12 years old, and He could already communicate the Scripture. You say, well, He was God. I know He was God, but He still had to learn the Scriptures. Oh, yeah, He still had to take it in. Watch our text. Not only could He take it in, He could give it out. The Bible tells us in verse number 46, it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them. The sitting with the doctors of the law. These are men that had the Old Testament memorized. They could quote you Genesis to Malachi from heart in the Hebrew. He's sitting in their midst. The Bible says He is hearing them. He is giving them an audience. He wants to know what they know. I hear people all the time say, "Boy, I sure wish I knowed the Bible like you knowed it." Hey! I've got good news! You can! If you want to give the time to it. Our Lord had given the time. He wanted to take something in that would be beneficial to Him. He's hearing these doctors. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in our text that He is asking them questions. Oh, preacher, correct me if I'm wrong. Do you have a lot of people, and don't correct us out loud, just think about it. Do you have a lot of people asking you to give them books for them to read? Do you have a lot of people asking you doctrinal questions because they've been studying? We don't have a lot of that no more. We don't have a lot of people wanting books. You don't sell, I got tapes out there, but you don't sell a lot of them. How come? Most Baptists know it all. I'm glad Jesus didn't know it all. He was asking questions. Matter of fact, in verse number 47 says, "And all that heard Him were astonished." The little word astonished means to be amazed with the jaw hanging open. They were astonished at His understanding. I love this little word, understanding. His ability to put things together. You know how some people are being so baffled about what's going on in our hour. You know why some of you went and bought duct tape and plastic for your windows? Because you don't have any ability to put things together. Astonished. 12 years old. How He could put things together. How come? Because of what He was taking in His eyes, what He was taking in His ears. Matter of fact, they were amazed and astonished not only at His understanding, but verse 47, at His answers. The little word here is to conclude for oneself and give an intelligent response. I don't know about you, not just 12-year-olds, but most 13 to 18 year olds that I speak today can't even get you a sentence together. You ask them anything, they'll say, "Whatever." Lord God, where in the world did that come? Is there a subject and verb to that thing? Whatever. I didn't know you could have a full thought without a subject and a verb. Huh? This is a famous word. Can't get your tongue. I know why you can't talk. How's the what you take it in here? What you take it in there? It just takes away your speech. He has the ability to take it in and give it out. I like that, don't you? Not only could He take it in and give it out, He grew in and grew within. The Bible said He increased in verse 52 in wisdom and stature, favor with God. His status with God was a status of favor. God was pouring His favor upon Him. How come? Because of what He was taking in. God was in the midst of His life. He was the center point. He was the vocal point. Can I mention this before we go to the house? We've looked at the consistency of His standard that's involved in His teaching authority. Contrite spirit, His communication of the Scriptures. But I notice in this text that if He is the center now, the vocal point of your learning, what you're taking in, there will be a compelling search. A compelling search. I notice here in the text, His mom and dad searched for Him. Notice if you've got the Bible there in verse number 44, notice the pursuit of this search. The Bible says in verse 44, but they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him. Well, how long did they look for him, preacher? The Bible says in verse number 45 that they sought for him until they found him. Oh, wouldn't it be something if you was to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to search for God this morning until I find him, until I hit pay dirt. Oh, I like that, don't you? They had a pursuing search. They were panting after God. Hey!
I was wondering what you're in pursuit of. What are you panting after? Is it
picturesque of your life tonight? Do you have an active, ongoing pursuit after God? I tell you, if you don't, I know why. It's because of what you're taking in your eyes, what you're taking in your ears. It'll squelch a pursuit. They pursued him until they found him. But you know what I was interested in? I was interested in the place of their search. The place of their search. Verse number 48, if you've got it there, says, and when they saw him now in the temple, they were amazed. His mother said unto him, son, and you know, I don't want to knock you ladies. I'm not wanting to do that. But you know Mary was a typical whiny woman. Her first thought, when she saw him there in the temple, she started to cry.
Didn't she know God was God?
You know, so many times we get all bent out of shape because of what's happened here, what's happened there. We even think that we can keep our kids from dying. I didn't know if you know it or not. If it's in the plan for God to take them,
you'll not keep them.
But here in this place of the search, look at verse 49. He said unto them, how is it that you sought? Literally the phrase here, he said, where have you been looking for me at? He doesn't say it ugly. He's very submissive to his mom and dad. He says it in a very kind way. He said, well, Mama, I mean, she's crying, whining. I mean, she's boo-hooing. And he said, Mama,
he said, where have you been looking for me at? I wonder why he asked her that question. Where have you been looking for me at?
I think it has a lot to do with his next statement. He makes the statement, he says, wished you not that I must be about my Father's business? The little word business here is a very interesting word. It is in our Greek New Testament on several occasions. In this text here, it is translated in the King James Bible, business. The same Greek word at other places in the Greek New Testament is translated the word house. He said, where have you been looking for me at? Didn't you know you could find me at my Father's house? Didn't you know I was going to be right here? I was wondering tonight, where do you look for him at?
I tell you one place you won't find him. You won't find him in the newspaper. I love Fox News, but I have never worshipped God while watching Fox News. If you have, tell me about it.
Has God ever come blowing through the living room and you got caught up shouting and a boo-hooing and a worshiping God and running all over the house a-waving after watching Fox News? I never have. So it must be pretty much time wasted. I'm coming more and more to that conclusion. And I love it. I love it. Hey!
I tell you, somewhere else you won't find God.
you won't find God out there in the world. You won't find God at the movie theater. I don't care if it is a PG movie. Now, ain't nothing wrong if you want to go rent one. It ain't got no cussing in it. You want to enjoy it. But I ain't never found God in one. I never been watching a video and just get all caught up with God and go to worship. I tell you what, though. I sure have on numerous times found Him in my secret place. And I have on numerous occasions found Him in this place. What are you looking for in that tonight? I tell you a lot about how you find Him tonight is what you take in your eyes and what you take in your ears. Teaching authority of Christ. Could I close with this little thought? I know this will probably bait some of you if you know the answer to this. But I need your help. You know, we've had tapes. Just a regular cassette tape, and now we've gone to CDs, and I come through the realm of the 8-tracks, but you know, years ago we used to have those little records, and they had a big hole in them. They were 45s. That big record had that little hole in it. Anybody remember what that number was? Huh? 33 1/3. You remember that little hole? Don't ask me why in the world we used to do. But we used to take a drill to the side of that little hole in the middle, and then put it on. Oh, it was, you talking about George Jones being all garbled up. Oh, man, it messed up. Hey! I'm afraid some of our lives tonight are all garbled up because He's not in the center. He's not in the midst of what we're taking in. Talking about the teaching authority of Christ, He was in the midst of the temple.